With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to Greg Schwartz on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What's going on today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Let's break the tie here. Somebody's saying that Colin Sexton is the 38th best player in the draft when he was taken. Is that true? Is that really true?
I'm going to go with false on that one. A guy that was drafted 8th overall, you know, you could make the argument that a couple guys that went behind him, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Michael Porter Jr., you know, maybe they're going to end up being better than him. But you also look in front of him, you got a guy like Mo Bamba, who went number 6 overall to Orlando and looks like an absolute bust. Wendell Carter hasn't been healthy in 2 years. I mean, you could make an argument either way, but he's going to be right in that 8 range. You know, obviously he's not going to be better than Luka or Trey or any of those guys, but to say 38th, he's definitely a top 10 guy in that draft easily.
Yeah, I would agree. And he's putting up, I mean, whether we like it or not, he's putting up 20 points. You know, he's giving, I mean, 20 points in the league is not something to like snivel at and kind of, you know, shirk at. But really, one of the things that we're looking at here is, you know, you got John Beilein who leaves. And I was asking, before we get into that, the fans earlier, you know, watching this team and watching a young team rebuild and watching a coach, a veteran coach in the college range, but a coach that's been around basketball a lot, see exactly where the Cavs were and kind of be like, this ain't for me. I'm going to gracefully bow out. I asked him, does this make you really appreciate where the Cavs were and just them playing the Golden State Warriors year after year? And some of the ability and shot making, and just the way that the against the team that was probably one of the greatest teams, in my opinion, that's ever been constituted. Does it make you look a little look back at the Cavs and what they did in 2016 and kind of be like, man, that was crazy?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it at the time. I mean, just from decades and decades of watching, you know, mostly pretty bad basketball. Certainly the years right before LeBron came in, you know, 2001, 2002, and those were terrible years. I mean, anybody that remembers that, I mean, we were all hoping Darius Miles was going to be the savior at that time. And then, of course, you had the four-year stretch where LeBron goes to Miami, and you have the worst combined record of any team in the NBA
ever
over those 4 years. And you win, you know, three draft lotteries in that time. You know, it's weird. I just looked at a mock draft yesterday. Top two teams projected to get the top two picks. Number one, Golden State Warriors. Number two, Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, how weird is that? From meeting in the finals for 4 straight years, and now these two teams could get the top two picks in the draft. The difference, obviously, being next year Golden State's going to be good again with Curry and Klay Thompson coming back, and then you add in, you know, potentially the number one overall pick. But it's just crazy how fast things in the NBA can change. You know, you looked at Golden State a couple years ago, and all their best players are 27, 28. They got a lot of them under contract for a long time, and you're like, this is a dynasty that's never going to break up, and they're never going to be bad. And, you know, at the time, we didn't think LeBron was ever going to leave. So, I mean, the only thing constant with the NBA is change, and, you know, maybe that's good when you've got a bad Cavaliers team. You're like, okay, you know, maybe we can turn this around, you know, fairly quickly.
Talking to Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. What happened with John Beilein? Was it more of him just looking around and being like, this isn't the type of place that I need to be, or the NBA game isn't for me? Or was it more along the lines that he was just forced out and they kind of did a back deal room or back deal, and you know, they said, hey, we'll give you your money, we'll go out, and it was just a bad hire on their part. What happened here?
No, I think it was mutual. I don't think Beilein was happy. I remember on media day, you know, him getting asked the question, like, how are you going to deal with the losing? And, you know, media day, it's all about positivity and optimism and blah, blah, blah. And I remember that question kind of stood out, like, you are going to lose. Like, this is not going to be a good team. How are you going to handle it? And, you know, of course, he gave a politically correct answer at the time, but it's something you have to consider. And, you know, if you're like a Brad Stevens and you come in the NBA and you're 38, well, maybe you can handle losing a little bit more than you can if you're 67 and you've done nothing but win, you know, for the last 45 years and you've never been fired from a job and you've only ever been a head coach. I mean, that's John Beilein's resume was about as good as you can get, you know, in terms of longevity and winning and all that coming in. So the fact that, you know, you're going to lose as many games as in 2 weeks in the NBA as you would in an entire college season. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's tough. That's a tough adjustment. The other thing is, you know, there was a line that was reported that he said in preseason, like, you know, when coach talks, everybody else shuts up. And I don't think that works with 30-year-old players. I really don't. You know, I'm 32. I'm trying to imagine if my boss would come in and say, when I'm talking, everybody here shuts up. I don't think me and my coworkers would respond very well to that. You know, if I'm an 18-year-old, you know, just coming out of high school, I'm in college, that would probably work, especially with someone of his age and resume. But in the NBA, the power is all with the players. You know, unless you're a Greg Popovich or one of the great head coaches, that's where the power resides. And, you know, certainly I think another big part of it is, you know, another reason why a guy like Popovich has been successful is when you have your best players buy in to what the coach is preaching and they set the tone for the rest of the team, you're going to be successful. For the Cavs, the best player on the team absolutely despised John Beilein. Kevin Love did not like him at all. And that was pretty evident early on. That was no secret around the Cavs. You know, for a guy that's in his 12th year in the league, I don't think he wanted to do 2-hour film breakdowns. I don't think he wanted to work on pivoting and passing and fundamentals, you know, the way a typical college team would. And, you know, he certainly wasn't the only one on the team. So at the end of the day, I don't think it was a good fit between his coaching style and the roster that was there. And I think it was a mutual breakup.
When you look at it, you look at the different players that they have and the different pieces and parts they had. Obviously somebody called up and was like, hey man, Kevin Love, hey man, Tristan Thompson is the best player. when you look at it, I just think when you got 2016 guys who have championships, and you go to a college style and you've won at the highest level, I'm just thinking about, you know, some of those guys, and I'm reminiscing about 2016 and those games against the Warriors. Those guys are probably saying, we got championship rings, and we're out here running pass, cut, screen away drills, running, trying to run backdoor cuts and flex offense. And you're like, this is not high school. I can see why it didn't really work out. One of the things that we look at is the roster and not knowing if the roster is gonna work out. Even with the Cavs, do you believe that in the next, I said 10 years is kind of hard. Do you think, we'll give you a little more short time period. In 5 years, are the Cavs contenders?
Contenders for a championship?
Just playoff, I guess, if they're a seed. But we'll go contenders for a championship. Are the Cavs the contenders in 5 to 10 years?
I mean, 10 years, you definitely have to say, yeah, they better be. In 5 years, I mean, I would say if you're talking playoff goals, I would say probably not next year. Right. Even though the bottom of the East is pretty terrible, so you never know. But I think maybe like 2 years is your goal, because I'm going to make a prediction that they're probably going to trade Kevin this summer. Mm-hmm. I think his contract's going to be a little bit easier to swallow, especially if he can stay healthy and kind of prove that throughout the course of the season. And teams, you know, I had one former NBA general manager tell me, like, you know, teams have to add talent somewhere this offseason. The draft is terrible. Free agency is terrible, especially if Anthony Davis resigns with the Lakers, which we all think he's going to do. How are teams going to add talent? Like, there's not a lot of options out there. And maybe for some teams, you know, trading a bad contract and a draft pick for Kevin Love, maybe that is the best move you can make. So you have to consider, okay, they're probably going to lose Love this summer. We don't know what's going to happen with Andre Drummond, if he's going to opt into his player option or opt out and become a free agent, and he could potentially leave. Tristan Thompson's a free agent. So, I mean, record-wise, you might not be any better next year than you are this year, although your young core could be developing and getting better. You're going to add in another top five pick, which is going to help. Hopefully you see the leap, the second year leap that you've seen from Colin Sexton with Darius Garland. We still haven't seen Dylan Windler, and I think he's going to help space the floor and help everybody out too. So if you're talking playoffs, I would say 2 years at the earliest. I mean, if you're talking title, I mean, who knows? It just depends on the core, but I would say within 5 years, probably not for a title. You're looking more 5 to 10.
Talking to Greg Schwartz of the Bleacher Report on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Bickerstaff, is he the guy?
So I like him. I remember, it's funny, I remember him coming in with Houston as an interim, you know, and doing a media pregame in Cleveland. And I remember him coming in last year with Memphis, and he was, I guess he was officially the head coach then, but, you know, he took over an interim job there. And I my first impressions when I first met him were, he's very well-spoken. And we don't get to go to practices, but he doesn't seem like a guy that's just going to scream his head off the whole time. And I think that probably resonates well with players. I don't think they want to be screamed at, especially 30-year-old men. I think he connects well to players. Certainly his family, Bernie, his dad has been a part of the Cavs organization as a coach and in other areas. So he has the experience. I like him. You know, obviously he's been a head coach in Memphis, but and he's still young. You know, he's only like 42 years old. So I think this was always the plan, that he was going to be the head coach. I think the Cavs knew that when they hired him and gave him the title of associate head coach, that he was going to take over. So they obviously believed in him enough to do that. And, you know, obviously last night with them coming back and winning a game when they were 2-34, this season when trailing at halftime, for them to come back and beat the Wizards, that showed some fight, and, you know, give some credit to the head coach for that.
All right, Greg, we'll talk to you again. We'll wrap this up, and then we'll get to you here in a couple of weeks. So we'll see what's going on with the Cavs and see if they can turn this thing around and make it respectable down the stretch.
Sounds good.
All right. Appreciate you, man. That's Greg Schwartz, other Bleacher Report, and he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.